Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Aquila podcast. We're on episode 20. And this week, we're going to talk about mistakes starting out personal trainers tend to make. So it's a bit different now since we're still kind of on lockdown and not everyone's in the gym. And since we're trainers virtually, it's a little different. But we'll talk about pre-pandemic kind of stuff and some stuff that can apply to now as well. Certainly different aspects. So first one we're going to talk, first topic we're going to talk about is making workouts too hard. Do you have any, like, do you have any, anything that happened to you in the past with this, Randall?
So when I, started, doing clients and stuff, some things I found myself, like, looking back doing is, sometimes I kind of like put my own workouts or exercise I personally like to do and made people do those. And so sometimes the exercise I do might not have been suitable for other people to do necessarily, but it was just something I knew and was comfortable with and that I like to do. So then I figured I'd make them do it. But then looking back, there are probably better options or different exercises I would have had them do first before doing it. For example, maybe they weren't ready to do a bench press or they weren't ready to do a barbell squat, but just because those are things that I do, I figured I'd have them try doing it.
Okay, that's a good point, because when I first started making programs for clients, I was like doing stuff that I would maybe do, but I realized you have to adjust and modify things according to their fitness level, which is why it's important to like have an assessment before starting with the client, like with their age, weight, previous experience and health conditions, stuff like that. You have to decide what is the best for that client. It may not be something as rigorous as what you do, or it could be even more. But most of the time, it's people that don't have much experience, and you need to start slow to get them adjusted. And you could get them hurt if you go too hard. So definitely the best thing is to take it slow and slowly introduce them to different things. Then maybe once they're ready in a couple of months or they progress quickly enough, they can do harder things like bench press and barbell squat, stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually wanted someone to do a trap bar deadlift once, and I figured even like with no weight on the bar, I even lifted it off the ground a little bit, because when you don't have a weight on the thing, on the ends of the bar, yeah, it's like right on the ground. So I elevated it a little bit. So I figured it's no weight, just the bar, and anyone could essentially lift it. But I've actually come across a couple of people who can't even lift just the bar, which is not – it's fine, but – I was just kind of like, yeah, it's just one of those experiences where I learned that even some people can't lift 45 pounds. You would assume, some people might mm-hmm. assume that everyone could, but yeah, I learned that not everyone could. So now I sometimes start off with a dumbbell, or now I know to start off with some dumbbells if I know their base level of strength isn't too great. But yeah, even some people can't lift 45 pounds, and I didn't know that.
That is surprising.
I think it might have been more so form, or just like the, like people don't, I'm pretty sure they could, but they were just kind of taken back by how heavy it was to them. Mm-hmm. So they kind of just held back on the pull, just because I feel like everyone has that base level of strength to be able to do it. But because of how much heavier it is compared to things they have lifted in the past, they kind of just, they were hesitant, and maybe they didn't brace the proper way, or their form was a little off. So then they just didn't, they were just kind of timid and scared to do it versus maybe not being mm-hmm. necessarily able to do it.
I think that was the scared factor. It might be, was probably hindered them into being like, oh, I can't do, they doubted themselves. Like, I can't do this. This is too heavy for me. Were they able to do it eventually with you?
I kind of just took their input that they said it was too heavy and just moved on to something else, just because I didn't want to kind of push them. It was probably like a mid-40s client, but there was no necessarily any problems. I just didn't want to kind of push them to do something they didn't want to do. But Yeah, I was, and deadlifts is kind of one of those scarier exercises. Not scary per se, but it's one of those exercises where sometimes you pull on the bar, and if it doesn't lift off right away, you're kind of like, oh, it's too heavy. But sometimes, like, you need, like, a half a second or a second of pulling till that weight starts to move instead of it just, like, lifting off right away.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. I know when I start to go super heavy, sometimes I have to kind of, like, push through a barrier, and then it'll finally lift off the ground versus sometimes when you're doing your warm-up sets, it just flies off the ground kind of thing.
Yeah, you're a bit taken back. And also with the form, very important to teach them the form properly before starting.
So while we're on form, I think that's another thing that I've kind of grew to do or learn is starting off, I was a little timid on fixing people's forms or at least critiquing every little thing. I didn't want to feel like I was controlling or I was being like a little OCD about every little thing. So then sometimes I would like see a small thing off, but then I'd hold back on saying it unless it led to like them doing something even worse or them doing it worse and worse after every rep or something like that. But if it was like a small thing and I thought that it wasn't going to be the worst thing, maybe for example, they were squatting and maybe there was like a small thing off, but I didn't see it like leading to any injury in that set or anything like that. So I just let it go kind of thing.
Yeah.
And no, I'll just get to like fix it on the spot.
Yeah. You don't want to be like fix, like you said, fix every little thing that you see is a little off of a different from a perfect squat. And not everyone's going to have a perfect squat, but if you, as long as it's not ridiculously out of whack, then you're not going to get hurt.
Yeah, but I feel like the more experience I get, like, the more comfortable, I guess, I feel critiquing people versus when I first started where I'd hesitate to critique people.
Yeah.
Just because I was scared I might be wrong or I just didn't want to seem like I was annoying them. But now I feel like I feel more comfortable and take up the responsibility more of, like, making sure they do it to the best of their ability and not letting them get away with those smaller things now.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. When I first started, I felt the same way, and I don't know why. I get a little more hesitant, like you said, in critiquing them. Maybe it's because like maybe they don't think I'm annoying or something like that. But now it's you have to do it. It's your job, right? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just one of those things you pick up, and I feel like it's one of those things also could just be in general, where especially because we're also in the company where we're kind of like just going into a company where we're new faces. We don't really like, they don't know us kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time to kind of build that relationship with that client to get a certain comfortability level versus like, say you're a big time personal trainer and people come to you and they know you. So then basically you're already like automatically credible or at least they automatically trust you. So anything you say goes versus like, oh, I'll just take any trainer or which trainer's available for me to try, and they don't know you, so then there's like that stage where you kind of have to get to know one another, get comfortable with one another, and then you kind of start to get to that sweet spot of being able to communicate, talk things out. It's just like a different dynamic, I feel.
Yeah, exactly. Gaining a client's trust, that's a pretty important thing, because the client doesn't trust you and your knowledge. And what you instruct them to do, then you're gonna lose a client, and they won't spread the word about you and get more clients, you know. So yeah,
I feel like that's part of the reason why we hesitate at first is because we want to make the best impression. And at first, when you're starting off, you think catering to them and like trying to make them feel comfortable and in a sense not annoy them or do anything wrong in their eyes is like what your goal is at first, but then as you learn, showing them that you know what you're doing and that you have a good knowledge of all the exercises so that you're able to correct them is what actually kind of gains their trust and kind of shows them that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, this might take a couple sessions, but the first impression is definitely important in the first session. And of course, you can probably help gaining their trust in the fitness assessment too. Just like being really relaxed and having fun, cracking jokes, getting to know each other, and then actually starting to work out with them. just show your knowledge and show that you're be confident. Don't want to be too timid or anything. And then they'll be like, oh, this guy seems like he knows what he's talking about. And that's pretty much it. It's not too hard. Maybe the first couple clients is tough, but it comes natural. It's not bad.
Yeah. So did you get the chance to do any group classes while you were in the NRC or when you were at your other facility, or you never got the chance to?
So at the other at the NRC, no, because I was there for 3 weeks, remember?
Yeah.
But the first at the FBI, I did lead a couple. And those classes were completely, like, it's different from the NRC classes because usually the classes we did at FBI were between, like, 20 to 50 people. So that was a lot. And
okay, that sounds a lot more fun, too.
Yeah, so making a lot when the weather was nice, we were outside. So it makes it a lot more fun, and everyone's excited to be there.
So you did get the chance to do group classes.
Huh?
So you did get the chance to teach group classes before.
Yeah, I only did a like maybe a two or three the whole time I was there.
Okay.
But I did. It was really fun though.
I would assume that you were a little nervous if you never had any prior experience teaching a class that big.
I was, yeah. And luckily like I wasn't as nervous like in the past. I definitely was not keen into like being around a lot of people, like or being in front of a lot of people. Like public speaking stuff like that, but I started doing one-on-one sessions to like gain my confidence, and then we did like groups of 5, 10, 15, and then I started. It was fine doing all those big numbers, and just because most of them knew me by then, so I think that's another factor when everyone knows each other. We're just having fun.
Did anyone ever like supervise or kind of critique your, cause I know when I started off, Alicia sat in a few classes or I would do a few of her classes. So then she could kind of watch. And then there's times where she's come into my own classes later on and she just gives me a few pointers, but did anyone ever do that for you?
Yeah. So at the FBI, there was when it was time for class, everyone kind of went because everyone had to help set up because there was so much stuff and it's so much room and not one person gets it. It would take a long time for one person to help set up. So after class or after setting up, people would usually stay and watch or they would participate in the class. Sometimes we would too. You get a lot of fun, participate. Or if you had a client, you go. But most of the time, people didn't really have clients around that time. So people just stayed and watched. So my supervisor watched as well and said if I did a really good, he always complimented me, maybe do this better, something like that.
So yeah, looking back every time like I do a class or something, Alicia, you always like, she's usually has something to say so that I could always improve kind of thing. So when I started off, there were a handful of things she said I could work on. So then starting off, I was a little either too timid, maybe just the format of my class, the way it flowed, not my body language, but sometimes I was so it was an ab class, I remember, and I kind of did a lot of it with them. So when I did a lot of it with them, I was on the ground a lot. So she said, maybe instead of being on the ground as much as you were, you want to get up a little more just so you're in front of the class a little bit and kind of motivating them and keeping the energy up kind of thing. So stuff like small stuff like that, it's like the more group classes you do, the more you start to learn and kind of find your own niche and the way you like to do it and to make it flow a lot better than maybe you did the very first time you did the class. So mm-hmm. It took me maybe like 2-3 classes to finally get into a groove of things. But the first couple were definitely nerve wracking because I've never done something like that before with that more than one person.
Yeah, fully understand with that. I know my first class I taught was abs as well. I think that's like the easiest class to teach first. So I want to talk about how class now, when you teach class, do you do everything with them?
Depends on the day, if I'm going to be honest. So I like to be, so in the office, probably not, just cause I've adapted. I kind of appreciate doing a circuit style kind of thing. So there's like six to eight different stations of exercises people kind of rotate in between. So it's kind of harder to kind of do it. I kind of demonstrate at the beginning of class, but then I kind of let them go. But now that we're at home doing all these classes via Zoom, there's some days where I do it all just because it's like cardio and I could use some cardio myself and it's just a little easier to do. And so I'll do it some days, but sometimes I come off leg day, so I'll just demonstrate and kind of let them go. But I also have a dumbbell class and I typically don't do my, I'll demonstrate the first 2 to 3 reps of each exercise and then I let them go. So lately I think it's 50-50 depending on the class and day for me. How about you?
So it's funny because when I was doing I was doing the one-on-one training in the beginning, and at first I wasn't gonna like usually don't train with them, and they were like, "Well, we like if you train with us." And I was like, "Okay." So I trained with them, and they're like, "Yeah, we like it when you do it with us." So I said, "Okay." So it's not as awkward. You just kind of stare at the Zoom thing and just watch them do it. And I don't mind training with them. So I did the same thing with class where I made the class up and then I did it with them. Everyone seems to like that. So I suppose what I've been doing, I don't mind working out, you know, like multiple times a day, you know, so this is what I've been doing and I like it.
Yeah. So I'll do it with them if I feel good. But if there's those days where, I already either worked out that day or I'm sore from the previous day, just cause I'm focusing on heavy lifting at the moment, so then I just tell myself I can't keep up with you guys right now. So, and I honestly even tell them, I'm just straight up with them saying I'm sore. I'm not gonna run around for the next 30 minutes. I'm sorry, but I'll do my best to keep up and still do as much as I can.
Oh yeah, I feel that. I mean, I found those days when I don't feel my best. I'll still do it, but like, I'll pretend that I'm going really hard, but I'm not, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But as long as you put on your personal training face and do it, get the energy up, then you're good.
Yeah. So the last thing I had for myself that I realized that I saw doing was like, sometimes that we will, in the NRC, we usually have like 30 minutes or so. And so when we do when I have a client, sometimes I kind of just do one exercise at a time, focus on that one exercise before moving on to the other. And within like 30, 45 minutes, it's kind of hard to get a good overall workout in that amount of time. So I started to finally realize that I should probably implement supersets a little more, just because if you're time sensitive, and it's just a better way of making your body function overall, in my opinion, when you're utilizing your time a little more efficiently to get more done in a short amount of time. So yeah, I wasn't using supersets at first, kind of just going to my old traditional thinking of doing one exercise at a time and then take a few breaks and then move on to the next exercise and just keep going through that. And then before you know it, you did only 3-4 exercises in 30, 45 minutes. And then that's all they did that day. Versus you could probably go up to 6 to 8 exercises within that same time if you just implemented supersets.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. When I only did a couple of training sessions with people at NRC when I was there for a few weeks, usually to cover for you or someone else. And like you said, you're like, yeah, just do some supersets. I remember you said that. You're like, yeah, just do some biceps, triceps thing. I was like, oh, okay. And then now at home, we usually only have 30 to 45 minute sessions. So like you said, yeah, utilize that time as much as possible. So usually doing a circuit or a HIIT style thing with maybe a superset in there, I think that's the best way to do it. The benefits of the superset saves time, as you know, and shortening the rest period between the work will increase the overload on the muscles.
Yeah, so I feel like as long as once, to an extent, you could do supersets and all that. Like, say someone's main goal is to gain strength, right? Like a power or lifter. Like, to an extent, you could still get strong supersetting, but then you get to a point where you kind of plateau in where you just have to get rest a little more and gain that energy back to lift the heavier weight, which is kind of what I'm doing right now. So I could catch myself sometimes when it's like a leg day and I'm doing squats, I can literally spend 30, 45 minutes just doing my warm up, and then 4 to 5 sets of squats. Literally could take 30 minutes minimum, almost 45 minutes some days if I'm trying to go extra heavy. And like looking at that time, it's kind of like you literally did 5 working sets in the total in 45 minutes. And it's crazy, I know. So it just kind of shows that you could utilize your time a little better depending on your goal, of course, but you kind of want to, unless that's like your absolute goal of getting as strong as you possibly can, that you want to use that time to get a lot more done. Because some days I just feel like I didn't do that much.
So you said you do 30 or 40 minutes of warming up?
Oh, no. Like, so including my warm up and my working sets, it could take up to 30, 45 minutes depending on how heavy I'm going that day. So it's include my warm up, but to warm up for squats, it might take me like 15 minutes just because I'm building up to those higher reps and I kind of don't want to just rush through it. I still kind of want to do. So I might go up to, say I'm working up to 275 on squat. I might break it up from 135, 185, 225, 255, and just doing all those with a few minutes of rest in between just to make sure I'm keeping my quality of reps in. It might still be three minutes or so, so then it all adds up by the time I actually get into my working sets. And then before I know it, I look at the clock, it's like, oh, shoot, I've been here for 45 minutes and all I've done were squats so far. It's crazy. So, it's not the best, like, if you're trying to be overall fit, that is not the best way to go. But if, like I said, if you're just trying to be as strong as you possibly can, it's a method you could try out.
Yeah, if you have a lot of time.
Yeah, and like, time.
Is that what you do when you're at the gym? You're on the bike for a while just to warm up?
I feel like ideally people should. I feel like that would also limit my. So in total, that would probably still make my workout time the same. But warm up, as far as warm up's concerned, I feel like it would make my warm up a little faster. Just because sometimes I'll do like high knees, or I'll just stretch out my hips a little and go straight under the bar. Versus, I feel like the optimal warm up would be like you could do a few minutes on the bike or like a walking on the treadmill incline or whatnot. Maybe do a few hip bridges, body weight, and just kind of go through a full body activation. And then, because when I do my warm-up sets, I'm still doing like reps of 5 to 10 just because I'm warming up that way versus like if you're already warm and then you go right into your right under the bar, I could do like maybe 3 reps max and then move on to the next weight versus having to do 5 or more if I was already properly warmed up.
You got me missing doing squats, heavy squats. I haven't done them in a while.
Yeah, man. I might be joining the 300 club by the end of the month, maybe.
So. Hey, I believe you can do it.
Well, what's the most you ever hit?
Oh, 385.
385, that's a good number.
I feel like I can do more. Even though I haven't squatted in a while, I feel like I might be able to do more because I've been focusing a lot of legs recently, especially like doing the HIIT stuff. It's a lot of legs, or training with a client, we do a lot of legs. Even though I haven't really hit heavy, I think it can correlate into maybe I can do that number again.
Yeah, just got like Jen said, like even if you don't have heavy weights at home and haven't done in a while, just doing whatever it takes to kind of like use your legs and have some hypertrophy and have enough muscle where the strength is still there. Because people underestimate the amount of muscle gain you could actually make through body weight. And obviously, you're going to plateau at some point, but very few people have ever actually maximized the amount of hypertrophy you could get from body weight alone.
You're absolutely right. So that's why I was like, maybe I should get a gym membership. Because I feel like I just miss lifting heavy a lot, personally. Doing HIIT stuff for a while and just body weight, which is it's all good. It's a good stuff, but just miss doing the heavy stuff.
All right. Did you have anything that you wanted to add? Any mistakes that you've made early on in your personal training career?
I think. Oh, you know what? At one more thing, there was
I think to avoid being any awkwardness in a group class or in a personal training session, you should like plan everything out. Like for class, I planned everything to the second. So instead of focusing on the people staring at you, you're focusing on what you have to do every second. So if you have your mind sharp the whole time, you won't really notice people like looking at you or whatever.
Hey, that kind of leads me into another one that, have you ever noticed that when you have done that, which I have done, like in, I've done it to myself, but that you would like kind of go, you would schedule it to the T, but you ended up taking too long, or you would have to cut something at the very end because you're.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's something I kind of picked up later on too, where I might, I kind of had a, I never gave myself enough buffer time just in case we ran too long. Or if I was too short, what would I do?
Yeah, like get that buffer time. You gotta make sure you have something in your back pocket or up your sleeve, whatever, to if you need that extra time, or if you need to fill maybe 5 more minutes or something like that. But I think we covered everything.
All right. Next week we're gonna have our coworker Emily on the show. It will be great to talk about swimming and cardio. So we'll see everyone next week.
All right, everybody, stay safe.